Some of you will have followed Pope Francis's visit recently to Panama for World Youth Day. You would have probably followed on the news that as he was leaving, he was being driven back to the airport in Panama and Panama City, and he actually said to his driver, "Can I have a drive of the limo?" Because he never gets to drive because he's special. So the driver pulled over and Pope Francis jumped in the front and had a drive. Anyway, he's going along and he's put his pedal to the metal, as they say, and then all of a sudden there were the red and blue flashing lights behind him, and the policeman pulled him over. And the policeman came up to Pope Francis and then looked in the window and he went, oh my goodness, I better call the chief. So he called his chief of police and said, "Chief, I have a problem here. I've just pulled over somebody very important." And the chief of police said, "Oh, it's not the mayor again, is it?" And he said, no, more important than the mayor. He said, "It's not the governor, is it?" He goes, no, more important than the governor. It's not the governor. "Oh, no, it's not the president of Panama, is it?" And he goes, "No, chief, it's not the president of Panama. Far, far more important than that. He must be really important because the Pope is his driver." Now, the miracle is how I weave that into this sermon. And it'll go something like this. What we hear and what we see is not always what is actually real. It is sometimes a perception. And in Luke's gospel, we have a text and words and the elements that have already been used in Matthew's gospel. So a lot of people would think that, oh, here we go, the Beatitudes again. Luke's are not the same as Matthew's Beatitudes. They have similarities, but they're not the same. Firstly, Matthew's account of Jesus' sayings were written about 30 years after Jesus died. Luke's accounts were written 40, 45 years later. That 15 years makes a big difference. Matthew takes Jesus up the hill. You know it as the Sermon on the Mount. Luke specifically says Jesus came down to a plain, came to flat ground. Matthew has Jesus giving these sayings to his disciples. Luke has Jesus giving these sayings to his disciples, but to the crowds as well on the plain. Quite different. Matthew says, "Blessed are those who mourn," or "Blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are hungry. Blessed are the prisoners." He has 9 blessings. Matthew has 4. Luke has 4. But Matthew says, "Blessed are the poor." Luke, what you see is not what you always get. Luke says, "Blessed are you poor." He puts the word "you" before each of the 4 blessings, and therefore he puts them before each of the 4 woes that follow at the end of his gospel. And he starts off with, "Blessed are you poor." Take us back, to the third Sunday of year C, 3 weeks ago. Jesus goes into the synagogue and they handed him the book of the scroll Isaiah, and he begins to read. He then folds it up and he then says, "Sent me to bring the good news to the poor. I was sent to bring the good news to the poor." Jesus' first words that he reads aloud when he starts his ministry are addressed to the poor in Luke's gospel. Luke has already given us a demonstration of who the poor are. We, here in Pierce, in Canberra, or Canberra, must not think of the poor solely in terms of economic poor. That is a reality, that's not a perception. Biblical poverty is much, much more than economic poverty. Biblical poverty is very specific. It targets those who trust in God totally because that's all they have. So that embraces part of economic poverty. And that's why Jesus says through Luke's gospel, "Blessed are you poor." Not the poor, They are out in the distance. Jesus has brought them close, right to where he is now. And he is saying, you are blessed because you are poor. And the blessing comes because before, right before your eyes, what you pray for, because you trust God, is being fulfilled, is being given to you. Your poverty is going to be removed by good news. Poverty is bad news. Jesus is good news. And that good news is with you now. You are hungry now. I am with you and I am going to feed you. It happens here and now. It will happen with us in a moment. You're sad now. I am going to bring you great joy. And I am bringing you great joy because I am with you. That great joy that he's talking about is beatitudo. It is the blessing. We actually get the word bliss from it. A bit of a colloquialism. But it is the overwhelming joy that we experience because our trust in God is being fulfilled here and now. Not in the future, here and now. In this place, in your joys and your sorrows, in your laughter and your tears, in your hunger and your thirst, this is being fulfilled here and now. Luke makes Jesus' blessings, his beatitudes, relevant. He makes them personal for us here and now. Matthew treats it a little bit more distant. And we must remember that because there is an element of poverty in each and every one of us. And nobody here is destitute economic poverty that I'm aware of. There are out there, and what we do with our spiritual poverty, if you like, is going to make a difference or not to those that are truly poor outside of this building here tonight. And that's the purpose of the blessings from Luke down on the plain through the lips of Jesus. You have the gift of God's grace, which should bring you great joy and answer all your needs now. You have trusted in God. He is fulfilling his promise here and now. What are you going to do with it? We will decide to do something about poverty, and poverty means social justice as well. We will decide to get involved or we won't. I mean, I know that many people now who don't listen to the news because they say it's all bad. Well, it may be all bad, but there is good news. And the only way the good news gets there is if the hands and the feet and the voice and the ears and the eyes and the heartbeat of Jesus, which is us, get out there and do something about it. We must not sit on our hands. We must feed the poor. We must bring joy to those who aren't experiencing joy. We must bring comfort and peace to those who are experiencing persecution in whatever form. How am I going to do that? Well, I don't know, because your world is, in a sense, your world. I know what I've got to do, but I don't know what you can do. It's nice in theory from where I look here, but the practice is very challenging. Luke takes the theory and demonstrates the practice. And I challenge each and every one of us here this evening to start doing the same in our life, particularly as we circle around the entry into Lent. I don't know what you can do, but I do know what has to be done, and I do know who can do it.